Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Trueblood. In the room today, John Paul Basham.
Yo.
And special guest, Michael Kelly.
I will say yo, too. Yo.
That's John Paul's standard greeting.
Okay. I will now say yo as well.
Yes. This is where we yo.
Michael serves as a director of groups ministry for Lifeway. We're super excited to have him in the room today on the podcast. We're going to be talking about discipleship, which I know is something that is close to all of your hearts, listeners, student ministry leaders. We must be making disciples. And so this is going to be a good podcast for you to listen to and to pass around to your friends. When you're done listening to today's podcast, take 30 seconds, head over to iTunes, and we would love for you to leave us a positive rating and review. It helps other student ministry leaders find the podcast and get, hopefully, the same content that you've come to enjoy.
As you were saying that it's good for you to pass around to your friends, all I could think was it's probably better than other things you've passed around to your friends in the past.
Yeah, especially depending upon your upbringing. You can get in trouble.
This is a nice, safe pass.
So do that, and we would be forever grateful. Hit us up on Twitter and let us know what you think of the podcast. Give us topics that you would like for us to cover, and we will do our best to serve you in that way. So we'll jump right into our discipleship discussion with Michael. But first, I want you to know Michael a little bit. So I'm going to turn it over to him and allow him to divulge all information that he finds necessary for you to know.
All right. Okay. How long is the podcast? Let's see. So, you said the job title, work here at Lifeway as director of groups ministry. And, we provide, a lot of resources in different forms to churches of all different shapes and sizes. Also a dad, we have three kids, got a 12-year-old who is now in middle school. And, so that's new.
Yeah. So you're like right in the thick of student ministry stuff.
Yep. So he is fully in it and fully a middle schooler. And then we've got two that will eventually be there. So we've got a 9-year-old little girl and then a 6-year-old that'll come up soon. Other things about me, let's see. I can juggle.
Ooh.
Didn't know if you guys knew that. As a matter of fact, I'm doing it right now. That's right, listeners. You can't see.
You can juggle, though. I've seen you juggle before.
Were you on some sort of juggling team?
If only. I mean, this was one of my great regrets, is that I never pursued juggling as far as it could have gone. I spent a week on a farm at my grandparents' house when I was a middle schooler or early high school, and they only had 3 channels of television, but they did have mini baseballs. And so over the course of 3 or 4 days, I taught myself how to juggle, which served me well as I rode the pine for mini baseball games to come.
Yeah. You were able to juggle.
I was able to juggle. Self-entertainment.
I bet that filled your coach with confidence, too.
Totally. He never ceased to not look over and say, Kelly, grab a bat.
Now, you know a little bit of magic.
It's a slight, yes, a little
Sometimes
bit of magic.
I find that if you can juggle, generally, you know a couple of magic tricks.
Magic is soon to follow. Yeah, I've got 3 or 4 pretty stable magic tricks that I will whip out every once in a while. If my wife hears this, it will all be interesting because she doesn't like this to divulge myself. But I've told her many times, any time, dear, that you want to get me something really meaningful as a gift, you can send me to magic camp.
I love it.
You want a bunch of 8th grade kids?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be fine. Surely I can, but you know, it would be really embarrassing as we get 2 hours into it. And clearly I'm like the dunce of the group. What do you mean you can't make a coin disappear?
I guarantee there's an adult magic camp.
Yeah, oh, for sure. There's got to be. Yeah. So I would go to that. I would go to that. I'm not sure who I would tell that I did go to that.
Yeah.
For as far as everybody else concerned, I might have the flu, but I would go to magic camp.
Man, I am. It's one of the things I feel like I am most interested in.
Magic?
Yeah. I can't get enough of it. Like, I'll just watch it a lot. Like, anytime Penn and Teller Fool Us is on, it's on the TV.
Yep.
I'm so fascinated by it.
Yep.
Let's get Brock Gill to do a magic camp for us, like here.
Yeah.
It's
that would be awesome.
I would attend that.
Yeah.
I would for sure go to that.
So, listeners, we'll let you know if the Magic Camp comes together, and perhaps we will give you some video on that. One other thing that I would mention that I don't know how wide you want this communicated, but you once bench pressed over 300 pounds.
Oh man, yep. Yep. That's been a few years ago.
but still really significant.
I used to play a little ball. Used to play a little ball in the day. I could throw this football over. I could throw it and hit that house over there. But I could throw this football so far.
Throw it over them mountains.
throw it right over them mountains.
Well, we are going to dive into our discipleship discussion. I think one of the things that would be important right out of the gate, or several minutes out of the gate, as it were, today, is to just define discipleship, because I think in church world, that word gets thrown around so much that there isn't really a pause anymore to consider what we actually mean when
yeah,
we
yeah.
say discipleship. And so I would throw that question out, first of all, and just say, and what is discipleship?
Man, I think you're right. There are words like that in our vocabularies, right? So especially if you've been around the church for a long time, they just sort of slip into your vernacular and you use them, and probably we knew what they meant at one point, but they just cease to lose meaning. So discipleship is like that. It's just part of the words. I think that discipleship at its core really just means following Jesus. I mean, it really, really is. So a disciple then is someone who is intentionally seeking after and being transformed by Jesus. And a lot of the discussion, I think, is around, you know, different methodologies and programs and all that kind of stuff that wraps around the definition of what discipleship is. And all those are fine discussions to have, but one of the things that we tend to do, I think, in the church is we tend to overcomplicate things many times, making it more complicated than they actually need to be. And it's possible that that is what has happened with discipleship, and at the risk of sort of, you know, simplifying it more than it needs to about why we might overcomplicate the issue, is because anytime we overcomplicate something, it means that we don't actually have to do it, right?
Yeah.
So if it really is that simple, then it like we are more further and more immediately compelled to some kind of active involvement in it. I don't know. Do you guys feel like in the student space that there is the propensity to overcomplicate what discipleship is?
I for sure do, and I think you make a really interesting point there that if it is overcomplicated and we spend a lot of time talking about how we're going to do this thing called discipleship, then maybe intentionally, maybe unintentionally removes us or keeps us from actually making disciples.
Yeah.
So we just talk about it. We build processes. We build programs. We do things, which, again, those are processes are worthy things to have in this conversation. But, man, I would agree. I think that it is over talk about discipleship without ever getting to the point where we disciple people.
Well, and it seems like a lot of our churches today try to get at those things through programs. So it's overcomplicated in that we're trying to put in all of these different programs, thinking that, oh, we're accomplishing this goal of discipleship through these six different programs that we're doing. And when in reality, every one of those programs has a bunch of students being led by a different leader that are teaching different things. There's no continuity between all of them. Everyone has a different registration, a different time things are happening. When the simple fact of discipleship is that it's done best when there's one person doing life with a small group of people and walking through with them what it looks like for them to live out a life devoted to Christ. And what that looks like. And so I think the complication a lot of times comes in, you know, whatever need we have to program it out.
Yeah.
There's another, would add to that and say, I think there is another thing that we miss sometimes, which is the measurement of discipleship. Which this is also kind of a popular discussion right now in churches. How do you not just what is discipleship, but how do you know is it really happening? How are you able to tell?
Yeah.
And so there's different kinds of assessments and different stuff like that that are all valid tools. I would say that one of the I think good healthy tensions that's happening right now is coming to understand that we have tended, I think, in previous generations to define discipleship almost exclusively in terms of education and intellect, so that it is the measurement of your maturity is really about what you know. Can you ace this quiz? Do you know the right answers? That kind of thing. There's certainly an intellectual component to discipleship, right? I mean, we are loving the Lord with our whole selves, our minds included. The mind is the battlefield. This is where transformation. So I don't want to discount that. But another important component of discipleship is replication. You know, Robert Coleman wrote a long time ago a really formative book in so many people's lives called The Master Plan of Evangelism. You guys have run across this, I'm sure, where it just talks about, I mean, I still remember the illustration. It's in the book, the pyramid of people and the difference between addition and multiplication. So that when you're doing addition, which is one person just keeps discipling different people over and over again, which they should, but it becomes multiplication when someone disciples someone else, and the person who is being discipled understands that their responsibility as they're matured in Christ is to carry that along. So you're then making disciples who understand that one of the marks of maturity is making other disciples. Another helpful way to think about it is the difference between a line and a circle. When you start to think about maturity in terms not just of intellect, but also replication, you start to visualize a circle instead of a line. Because if maturity is just about getting from point A to point B on whatever discipleship continuum you're on, right, that's a straight line, you know, to get there. But if maturity is also marked by your investment in other people, then you're constantly circling back and starting again with someone else. And, you know, for my part, I can say I'm far from the expert in this. I don't know who really is Robert Coleman is. who the experts are. He wrote the book. But, you know, I would say as a disciple of Jesus, that my faith is grown when I am in the process of actually discipling someone else, right? It's amazing how that works back and forth. It just does.
Yeah. So what did, for you personally, what did student ministry look like for you when you were a teenager? Did you grow up in the church? Did you have a discipling experience then?
Mm-hmm. I did. So I grew up in the church, and it was a few different things. You know, my family are Christians. My parents are Christians. One of the most pivotal times in my life, though, was coming into my high school years, which was the first time that we had at our church a real stability in our youth ministry with the same guy who would be our youth pastor and would serve for a number of years. And he was a guy, still a great friend of mine and mentor of mine. And he was a guy who not only knew how to run the programs of the church with great proficiency, but was able to really personally invest in some students as they were growing. One of the things that he did that I thought was amazing, though, was that he made it his aim to spend equal or more time personally investing in his adult volunteers as he actually did with students, which was revolutionary for our church.
Yeah.
Because our church, when he came there, largely operated under the idea that, man, the student pastor, your whole job is kids. Be with the kids all the time. And he sort of stepped into that role and said, my job is not necessarily with the kids. My job is to replicate myself in these 40 volunteers that I have. And by the time that he left, I mean, it was crazy. You know, the guy who had been teaching senior Sunday school for 6 or 7 years was looked at by the seniors as that's my contact. Like that's my youth pastor.
Right.
You know, so he raised up these volunteers by investing in them and really spread out his influence in what was a really new way, I think, for our church.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And you guys that have been listening to the podcast for a little while know that we that volunteer leadership is something that we talk about a ton on here. And you've heard it articulated again why we make it such a big deal is because you on your own cannot sufficiently minister to every student in your ministry in the way that brings about replicative discipleship in their life. And so in order to do that, you need to to replicate yourself in other people. You need to lead your volunteers. They need to be, I love that the senior guys, like they thought of him as their youth pastor. And that really, that should be the way it is. I think a lot of student ministry leaders may step back at that comment because unfortunately there may be like a hero complex that some, that some have that, you know, the idea of giving away that point person mantle is a big deal to them, and it might strike their pride or whatever. But that volunteer leadership you've heard us talk about before is so key. So let's camp out there for just a minute and talk about what it looks like to really disciple volunteers. Because if the way that you disciple more students is to get more adults involved in discipling students alongside you, that doesn't mean that you have to never spend time with students. It can mean that you spend time with some students and you train your volunteers to spend time with some students. And by doing that, you're discipling all of them. But let's camp out there, because what does it look like to actually disciple a volunteer? How does that, like, are you meeting with them? Does it take on the same form that we would say it looks like to disciple a teenager?
I would say not necessarily, just because the schedule and stuff is different. It's always going to be different when you're working with adult volunteers and when you're working with students. But I'd go back to this situation in our church. So John, which is our student pastor's name, I've even as a kid, I remember thinking how interesting this was, that he would have these regular leadership meetings with all of the Sunday school teachers that were in our church. And there was a lot, you know, but when he came, we probably had, I don't know, 40 students in our youth ministry. When he left, there was 500-600 students in our youth ministry. I mean, it was significant. So there was a significant amount of stuff that was happening all the time. One of the remarkable things about him, though, was how closely he guarded those leadership team meetings. And what I mean by that is he closely guarded the agenda. So with all of the stuff that was happening, you know, the temptation is always just to go into straight execution mode, like just checking off boxes. Do we have this party ready? Do we have X done? And this, and there was a portion of that, but he was always with them, with his adult volunteers. He was always leading them through some track of study on their own. And it wasn't specifically the same track. It wasn't like, I'm going to teach you this so that then you can go and teach the students. Like, he wasn't...
Right. It wasn't like training.
No. It was genuine, we're going to study the Bible together, or we're going to read this book together, and we're going to talk about it. And so it really was of their personal benefit. And it was remarkable to see just the outflow of how that affected the rest of the ministry. One of the most tangible effects I still remember, because later after this guy was still there when I served on the same church staff alongside him then, as a collegiate pastor. And I remember being so, it was like a joyful frustration because I couldn't get any dang volunteers to come serve in the college ministry because there was a literal waiting list in the church of people wanting to get into the student ministry volunteer track. So, and it,
how many of you have a waiting list?
It was amazing.
People like pressed pause right now and they're shouting expletives in
wherever. How does that happen? I mean, it is important to recognize we're talking about, like, it takes time to build that up.
Yeah.
But I think the rest of the church saw this is where the Lord is moving in this is where the Lord is moving in our church. And even though these volunteers work really, really hard at what they do, they are benefiting personally from having to do it. So, I mean, as another staff member, I had to go and convince people to get off of the student ministry waiting list to come and
not even
work on
doing
our stuff.
Anything
yeah,
right now.
No, but it was like, but we'll lose our place in line. We do. Come on, man.
I love that though. So, I think just to recap for a minute, because there's been a lot of things said. Discipleship is simply following Jesus. There's a replication element to that. It's seeking Jesus and being transformed by him, which I think is an excellent definition of discipleship. And then that circle versus the straight line, I think, is a helpful image for you to have in your mind as you listen to this. I think we can overcomplicate the discipleship discussion and talk about discipleship so much that we never actually put anything into action related to discipleship. Another thing I'd throw out there before we kind of move the discussion forward is attendance doesn't mean discipleship.
That's and
I think in student ministry, sometimes we grab the people that are there most often and assume that those are the ones who are becoming more like Jesus just because they're there. And that I think that's a dangerous thing to fall into. I mean, that's part of my own story is as an eighth grader being picked up on Saturday mornings to go on visitation and share the gospel with people that had come to our church. And I wasn't even a believer myself until I was a sheep, but I was there all the time. So it was like, oh, this person must be ripe for discipleship. I just needed the first component of it, which was, you know,
salvation. Yes.
But even then, that even not being saved, I still remember those moments. So as we move forward here and talk more about the volunteer discipleship, I think that it's helpful to mention that training is different than discipleship. And so as you think about your relationship to your volunteers, there needs to be a training component to that, and you need to instruct them and encourage them and cast vision for them and all of those things that we've talked about before on the podcast about what it means to train a volunteer well. But the other side of that is the discipleship component. And so I do want to pause just for a second because I think it fits perfectly right here, and I want to let you guys know about something that that Lifeway's developed that will help you directly either disciple volunteers that maybe there are a couple volunteers that you disciple on your own or that you encourage volunteers to get in small groups together. Because here's what you know is a reality. When your people decide to volunteer in student ministry, chances are they are leaving a discipleship environment in their local church. In your local church, they're leaving their Sunday school class, they're leaving their life group or whatever in order to serve. And that's awesome, but it doesn't take away the responsibility that you have as a leader to be involved in the discipleship. And so I want us to talk just for a few minutes about Disciples Path and how that can equip a leader to get their volunteers involved in discipleship. And then we'll talk about the student component of that in just a little bit. Michael works directly with Disciples Path. It's an awesome new thing that's out now, and I'll let you talk about the two different spaces. But
yeah, for sure. Man, I agree with you. So there's a guy, a friend of mine, who says he's from Kentucky, and so when you're from Kentucky, these are the kinds of things that you say. So what he says is, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket,
that's true.
Is very true. For the purpose of this conversation, though, you know, you got to ask, well, what happens when there's nothing down in the well, right? Mm. So, you know, I think that volunteer burnout is a really real thing.
Yeah.
And it's a really real thing in student ministry and kids ministry. Maybe more, I would say more so probably than adult ministry. And one of the active ways that a student ministry leader, student pastor can stand against that is doing what you're saying. Is just making sure, okay, I don't need to make sure that these people are only deployed. It's incumbent on me to make sure that they're actually being filled up, that there's something down in the well. So this resource, Disciples Path, you know, we love it because it is very simple, it's very easy to use, and it is built on the philosophy that discipleship has four key components. Discipleship is progressive, that we're being transformed in the image of Jesus, that discipleship is disciplined. Nobody's going to become a disciple by accident. They're not going to trip into it or anything like that. Discipleship is relational, that the Lord intends we go on this journey together, and that discipleship is replicable, so that we take what we have learned and we invest it into other people. Those are that's what Disciples Path is built on. And we wanted to make a resource that where the preacher or the plumber could pick it up. regardless of how much educational training that you've had or what your degree is or how much theological training you have, something that you could pick up and use to make disciples. At the end of the day, guys, you guys know this. Jesus never looked at a curriculum and said, go and make disciples. Never looked at a video screen and said, go and make disciples. You know, he didn't. This is the job he gave to people. So the best thing that we can do is to put an easy-to-use tool in people's hands that awakens the inner disciple maker in them. And so that's our hope for this, that in this particular context, that we could put this in the hands of a student pastor who in turn could truly disciple those people who are making disciples, or that we could put it in the hands of a group of these volunteers, like you said, and that they could walk on this journey together to make sure that they're still moving towards Christ-likeness, even as they are helping students to grow into Christ-likeness.
Yeah, I think it's something to, you know, we talk about the replicating nature of discipleship, and we've been focusing the conversation on volunteers and a student pastor discipling volunteers and being involved there. But one of the things that on a student ministry podcast we absolutely have to mention is that students can do this too, that another student, like yeah. there's a junior high girl in your ministry right now that could be in this process, couple junior high girls with, you know, an 11th grade, 12th grade, 10th grade girl in your ministry.
That'd be great.
Matched genders.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yes.
For this.
Yeah.
So, but that process needs to be happening in your student ministry. Your students are not too young to engage in discipling each other. Mm-hmm. I think we kind of, I don't want us to miss that, because it is important to disciple your volunteers. And as a student, one of the great things about student ministry is that you get to not only disciple parents and students and volunteer, you get to do all those things. It's not just one. Like, you're not just focused on discipling students. You get to disciple all ages of people, really, in the church. And that's other than the pastor, I don't know of another staff position that really gets to be involved in that. So mm-hmm. that's one of the things that makes your role so amazing. But in doing that, man, equipping students to do this very thing will take your student ministry way down the road of effectiveness and expanding God's kingdom and all of those things that we talk about.
That's so special when that happens. I mean, I try to put myself back in my middle school days. I cannot. I mean, if I was a seventh grade dude and a senior in high school came up to me, I mean, he could tell me to walk down the street and eat a bale of hay, and I would have done it. You know, there's such powerful relational equity. And to think of seniors in high school knowing the joy and the responsibility of bringing other people along in the faith, I mean, that is rich, fertile training ground. And then the generational impact of what that happens. Like, can you, yeah. I mean, it's just crazy to think about. If you've got seventh and eighth grade guys literally thinking, I can't wait until I'm a junior and senior so that I get my own seventh and eighth grade guys. Yeah. To reinvest this yeah. back in. I mean, that is super cool to think about.
Well, and I think a part of that for student pastors is trying to help students understand that they're called to live out their faith today. Mm-hmm. You know, so when we read in Scripture, be holy as I'm holy, it's not be holy one day down the road when you're mature enough and can handle it as mm-hmm. I'm holy, but it's be holy right now as I'm holy. You know, we're called to live out these things today. So, you know, as a student pastor replicates themselves into those leaders, and those leaders replicate themselves into those students, and those students learn that, hey, I can do this same thing. I can replicate myself. I can strive after Christ with all that I am and show somebody else who's struggling with all the same things I'm struggling with how to do the same. And I think that leans into that problem of students walking completely away from a faith that it seemed like they had such a strong hold on yeah. when they go to college, you know, because if they've never acted on that faith and owned that faith, then it doesn't mean anything to them. But when we give them the opportunity to be disciple makers and teach them what that looks like and feels like, I think they get a brand new picture and a brand new grasp on what faith in Christ looks like that carries them through.
Yeah. Well, and if they, and the reality is, if they're becoming a disciple themselves and they're being transformed, and it, the discipline of, because I think discipline in being a discipler, I think that's a right word.
Mm-hmm.
It takes discipline to seek people out and say, hey, do you want to walk with me in this? I mean, it can be a very, I mean, it's not like you're asking somebody on a date, but you're asking them to be involved in a really intimate relationship. So, I mean, that, especially for students that are super insecure and all that, like, it can be a big deal. So to learn that discipline of, man, me following Jesus means that I'm always meeting with 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever it is, people, and walking with them through this. If that becomes a part of their life, then it doesn't matter if they stay in your town after they graduate, or they move across the country, or they go to a Christian college, or they're at the most secular university in the world. If that's already a part of their lifestyle and it's become part of their DNA as a believer, then that's going to be something they continue to do. And as a believer, by the way, it is a part of our DNA. I think it has to be awakened within their life. Like, it's something that has, well, just awakened. It's something that has to be made alive in them, that that's a possibility for them, even as, you know, as a 14-year-old.
There is a latent disciple maker inside of every Christian, right? I mean, there really, really is. I mean, I love this verse in Philemon, right at the beginning, where Paul says, I pray that you would be active in sharing your faith so that you can experience, like, the full measure of joy. There is a measure of joy that happens when you really are not just in evangelism, sharing Jesus with other people, but when you're helping people grow in Christ. There is a measure of joy that happens to do that. That really is, it is infectious. You know, I don't know another way to describe it, except that when you see Jesus come alive in somebody else, and suddenly they are very excited about their faith and everything the Lord is doing to them, and you know that the Lord in his grace has used you as a means of helping awaken that in them, man, what a thing. It's an amazing thing.
So what are some, let's end with some real practical, what are some things that a student pastor, let's paint with a wide brush here, which is always dangerous, but we'll do it for the sake of the question. Let's say that a replicating style of discipleship is not currently present in the student ministry or the church as a whole. How can the student pastors that are listening right now begin to inject that in the culture? How can they bring about that awakening of that disciple maker within both the people that they see in their ministry and maybe even the church as a whole?
Okay. So I wrote down three words, and they all happen to start with S.
That was really quick alliteration.
So we'll see if this works. Okay. So here are the three words.
When you preach, do you alliterate?
Not often. Not when I can help it.
Yeah.
But it happened to work that way. And part of it was, I was like, huh, both of those two words start with S. Oh, that's a third one that says, let's go with that. We'll see. All right. So here they are. Three words for a ministry that's not currently replicating discipleship. How do you get there? The three words are slow, small, and steady. So one is just start slow. Understand that this is not, discipleship by its nature is the long road, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is the long haul. This is the way that the Lord treats us. So we should also treat other people like that. So start slow. Do not go to your volunteers and throw down a copy of Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology on their desk. You guys read this and get back to me next week, okay? Don't do that. Start slow. Maybe what that looks like.
Oh, that's not what I should have done.
Just as a side note.
Is this what you did? Probably did this. You did this.
In every church that I've served, and John Paul and I served together in Virginia, we've taken groups of students chapter by chapter through through Wayne Grudem.
But slowly.
Chapter by chapter.
Chapter
right.
by chapter, yeah.
There are a lot of chapters in that book.
There are. So in the 9 years that you had yeah. with the failing students.
That's right.
This is Fred. He's a third time senior. So if you want to do this with your volunteers, for example, don't immediately just chuck your leadership team meeting agenda out the window,
yeah.
right? Say, for the first 2 months, we're going to take 15 minutes of every meeting and yeah. then move it up to 20 minutes and then 30 minutes. So slow, progress
right.
slowly. Yeah. Understand that it's going to be slow. Just put what is step one in there, all right? So slow, small, the second S word. I think that this works best in small groups of people. And if you really are emphasizing the replicable nature of discipleship, then small grows to be bigger very, very quickly. So you don't feel like you have to do this with all 20 of your volunteers to begin with. You just do it with 2 or 3 of your volunteers. Maybe it's the 2 or 3 you know that are the most hungry right now. I mean, there's an old principle of discipleship that's go with the goer, right? You don't grab people and pull them along by their hair. You go with the people who are ready to go. So small, slow, and then steady. Discipleship is the work of perseverance. And sometimes it feels like you are sprinting along with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Lord is showing you things in His Word, and you just feel your character being transformed. I feel like, at least for me, the vast majority of the time, it is not a sprint. It is a slow plodding in the same direction. And I think that's the way that it is with most people, is that you steadily keep going. So with steady, what I mean then is regularity. Like you don't meet haphazardly with people, like, well, maybe we'll meet this week or maybe we're not. You put a time on the calendar and then you keep the time on the calendar. You just steady chip away, steady, steady, steady. So that's what I would say.
I think one of the things, man, I love the 3 S's. That was really quick alliteration. It was awesome. I think with, you know, people ask us all the time, how do I get more volunteers?
Uh-huh.
Like, how do I have a waiting list of people that want to
yeah.
serve in my ministry? And I think the interesting thing there is with that slow and small and steady, like, you might be looking at your volunteers and you might have 3 volunteers right now and you need 12. Well, as you disciple them and they begin to disciple others, those others that they disciple, there's probably a high chance that they're going to want to serve in the ministry that the person is discipling them is serving in.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm willing to bet that's how John's
yep.
process went through. And it takes time and effort and energy. And so the 3 S's, slow, small, and steady.
Yeah. It's, man, if it's helpful, I think it works this way, not just in student ministry. I think it works this way in all kinds of ministry. You know, in the church where I serve as one of the elders, you know, we don't, I'm one of the younger guys that is in that group. And so I really have just seen myself for the last 5 years, not just in serving the church in leadership, but I really see myself as being discipled by these older men, you know, teaching me a lot about the Lord, a lot about the nature of church, of discipling them. Well, these guys know they're not going to be around forever. And so every once in a while, we will have a discussion about the right time to add new elders to the elder body and that kind of thing. And the way that it happens is coming around is just saying, okay, guys, who are you? Like, who are you meeting with yeah. right now? Who has the Lord brought into all of your paths? So it's the same. I mean, it's the same kind of principle that goes from pastor, elders, bring on more leaders, that goes from student minister to volunteer to who they're meeting with to bring on more volunteers, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And the best way that you can bring about this culture in your ministry or even in your church is to follow that yourself, is to move slowly with a group of people, to be steady with them, that yourself. To start off with a small group yourself and to begin to disciple them and challenge them in what it means to be a reproducing disciple. Any last words?
Can't think of another one that starts with S. Magic Camp.
That's right. Be looking for Magic Camp coming up. One of the things that we always want to do through the podcast is to put tools in your toolbox, so to speak, to be able to launch the things that we talk about and put into action. And so I would challenge you to check out Disciples Path at disciplespath.com. And you can find it there. There are student options there for you, as well as adults and kids. So if a whole church wanted to go through something like this, that is definitely possible. And you'll find all the information out as far as previews. You can download and check it out at disciplespath.com. So go check that out, and we wish you well in your effort to disciple your volunteers, your students, and their parents. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.